third message in our series, Balancing the Christian Life. In our previous two messages, we started out with a message entitled The Key to Balance. And we talked about the pressures, we talked about the problems, we talked about the principle of balance. What's the principle to having balance? I believe it's Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When I worked in aerospace, and I know Brother Hauser, you know this, we were taught very, very simply and succinctly in a gas turbine engine as the air flowed through there. The key to balance was the center. It was the middle. And if the middle is right with God, if God is in His proper place, we can live a balanced Christian life. Amen. When we get out of balance, when we put things there, and we'll talk about that tonight. But then we talked about not only the pressures and the problems and the principle, but the purpose. What is our purpose? God made us to give Him glory. That is the purpose for which we are created. And living your life for the purpose which we were created, bringing glory to God, will inevitably bring balance. Amen. So we talked about the key to balance. And then 2 weeks back, we talked about the importance of a proper appraisal. And we talked about men, praise God, when you go to buy your wife that rock. And fellows, pay attention here, amen. When you go to buy your wife that rock, it's important that you get a proper appraisal, amen. She's not going to appreciate the cubic zirconia, fellas. I'm sorry, amen. And you can't go to her and say, honey, you wouldn't believe how hard I got to get you this ring, how hard I worked, and I finally got it for you. And she'd look at it, and you'd say, and it would be one of those maybe a ring pops, amen. And you'd look at it and say, what do you mean you went so hard? You know how many times I had to get that claw to go down and grab that for you, honey, amen. I don't think that's going to work. It'd probably be important to get a proper appraisal. You say, what's a proper appraisal? It tells us what is truly valuable and what is not. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves don't break through and steal. Why? Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And we talked about valuing the valuables. We talked about the beginning of balance. What's the beginning of balance? It all centers, ladies and gentlemen, around this book right here. Around this book. You need to be learning and applying and yielding yourself and obeying God's principles. Go with me just by way of introduction here. If you could, go to 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to show you something, verses that have helped me and ministered to me over these years. But 2 Peter chapter number 1, almost towards the back of your Bible, for you new Christians there. 2 Peter, look at verse... Oh, and by the way, there's so much in 2 Peter. I heard Curtis Hudson years ago say, there's three reasons why the apostates hate 2 Peter, and it's chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, amen. Those that can't stand Christ and His principles hate that this book of the Bible. Verse number 4 of 2 Peter chapter 1 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. What's that, folks, right here? The Word of God. The Word of God, amen. And then it says this, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, it's not enough that you have the Word of God. It's not enough that you've received Christ, amen. And praise God, that'll get us to heaven, but it won't help us have a balanced life, amen. He says, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about the beginning of balance. Hey, listen, get to know the Bible. Get in this book. Get your nose in this book. It's not just for preachers on Sunday. Amen? Listen, it's for Christians every day that we would get in this book, that we would apply it to our lives. How can you live by principle if you don't know the principles? Amen? Now think about it, okay? The beginning of balance. Then we looked at the hindering of balance. And then the maintaining of balance. We talked about that in our last lesson. The key to maintaining balance, ladies and gentlemen, it just takes T-I-M-E time. Just getting in this book. Listen, you don't read this in a day. You read it in a lifetime and you still may not understand it all. Amen. Listen, fellas, it takes you putting in time with your wife to develop that relationship like God wants it. Amen. It takes time, not only in the Bible. It takes time to learn to be a good employee. It takes time to take care of self. And so we talked about that in our two previous messages, the key to balance and the importance of a proper appraisal. The title of our message tonight is Prioritizing by Principle. Prioritizing by principle. The context of our message is Genesis chapter 26. Here's Isaac, and there's a famine in the land. And it goes on to say there, if you look at it, get back to Genesis chapter number 26. It goes on to say that beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. So hold your place there in Genesis 26 and go back to Genesis chapter 12. And we see here, this is when God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and gave him the Abrahamic covenant. And he says there in chapter number 12, verse 1, it says, "And now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and will bless thee, and will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee." Side note, that covenant is still in effect. You know one of the reasons why I believe God has not judged America, though we are very worthy of judgment, is our stand with Israel. Amen. Our stand with the nation of Israel. Why? Because they are still Abraham's descendant, and God is bound by His word. "I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee." He goes on to say, verse number 4, and I love this. He says, "So Abraham departed." God said, "Go, you're going into land, I'm not even telling you where it is." And Abraham said, "Okay." He left. You jump down to verse number 10. And this is to what is referenced here in chapter 26, verse 1. It says, "And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, and they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister." By the way, isn't it amazing here? There was a famine, and he went down into Egypt, and Egypt is always a picture of the world, ladies and gentlemen. Always, always, always. And as soon as he took one step down, he got himself into another bind, didn't he? By the way, that's the progression of sin. Sin works that way. Amen. You take one step towards the devil, and the next thing you know, he had to tell a lie about his wife. And by the way, let me just say this. Faith is a journey. Faith is a journey, and it progresses. And Abraham was tested here, and he was a young Abraham, and he failed the test. Don't be too hard on him. By the way, you failed the test. You failed a test or two, amen, when God and you were looking and nobody else was. And so he goes down here, and you notice sin's progression. But I want you to go back to chapter 26, if you would. Chapter 26, it says, "And there was a famine in the land." And we would say in our natural understanding that a famine is not good. I just read this week, we had our missionary committee meeting early in the week, and we just read amongst our missionary committee our letter from the Haytons, our missionaries to where? Zambia. Amen. Great missionaries. I'm telling you, just a man of God. And he talked about how the food supply there in Zambia and the area that they're at, and many of you read the missionary letters, but he talked about people, Brother Peterson, were living on grass and wild roots. Anybody have grass and wild roots for your Sunday meal today? And he talked about a pastor who was killed with a rock for defending his vegetable garden. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we look in our human understanding and we see that there was a famine in the land and we say, my goodness, that's not good. I will tell you this, it's a great opportunity for God to build the faith of some. To say, even in a famine, watch me provide.
Amen.
Remember when that happened to Elijah? Yeah. Came to old Ahab. Brother Peterson, forgive me, I always think of Dr. Malone as Elijah. Old Elijah. Amen. Walking up to Ahab and sticking his bony, gnarled finger in his face and saying, it's not going to rain till I say so. Just walking away. And old Ahab just sitting there stammering and stuttering. And it didn't rain. And you know what God said? He said, Elijah, you get yourself by the brook Cherith. And it's okay. There's still a brook even though it's not raining. Because I'm in charge of all the brooks. And I'm in charge of all the glaciers and the springs. Amen. And I'm going to make sure you got water. And I've commanded the ravens to feed thee. And I thought about that, Brother McGee, so many times. I can't imagine that raven coming along, that carnivorous bird. By the way, a raven will eat anything.
Yep.
And I think, Brother Peterson, he had prime rib in his mouth. And he said, I can't believe I can't eat this stuff. I got to drop it to God's man. Amen. By the way, that's what God can do in a famine. Amen. And he commands Isaac here. He says, don't go down into Egypt. And he goes on, and if you look at it here, look at verse 3. Sojourn in the land, and I will be with thee. Boy, you ought to mark that. And then it says, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed, I will give all these countries. This is God talking, amen. What's he saying here? He said, I'm going to take care of you if you prioritize your life by principle. Listen to me first. Not the chatterings of Fox News and all God's people said. Not too much talk radio. He said, listen to me and I will take care of you. I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. I will make thy seed and multiply the stars of heaven and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. I'm going to talk to you tonight about, you know, and here's the impetus for these messages. We're seeking to balance the four major areas of our life. And that is our relationship with God, our family, our work, and taking care of ourselves. And by the way, do not minimize that last one. We are to take care of ourselves. Fellas, listen, I remember watching a good friend of mine at 33 years old have a heart attack. And he looked at me as he was in the bed. He was an EMT. He looked at me as he was in the bed, Brother Peterson. He said, I guess I probably ought to lay off the sausage. You can't, listen, you can't live on that. You won't live long. You won't live long. Amen. We are to take care of ourselves. And listen, I'm not for, you know, just eating lettuce and, you know, just bicycling and all that. I heard a guy say one time, he said, the easiest way to shorten your life is put your bicycle in front of my car. Amen. I believe that's true. Amen. I don't think you ought to be foolish. We're to be stewards. Amen. We're to be stewards. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so we're talking about prioritizing by principle. Number one tonight, by way of an outline, the desire of God for balance. Number one, the desire of God for balance. Let me just give you a couple thoughts under this. God wants you to enjoy life. God wants you to enjoy life. God didn't create you and then save you so you could walk around like Eeyore with the mully grubs. Oh, I just, you know, it's so tough being a Christian. And I guess we just got to endure to the end. And He did not design us that way. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. John 10:10. So his desire for us is to live a balanced Christian life. He wants us to enjoy life. You know what else? He wants us to make good decisions. God the Father in heaven wants you and I to make good decisions. You're in Genesis. Go over to Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter 1. We talked about this morning as we preached on the cities of refuge. The book of Joshua, Moses died off the scene at the end of Deuteronomy, and God anoints Joshua. And by the way, I love how he says to Joshua, "As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee." What a comfort that must have been, because Joshua was there when God and Moses were talking. He was on the brink. He saw what God did for his people. Look at verse number 8. This book, chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest to observe to do all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good." I'm told that that's the only place in the Bible where success is mentioned. I know some do Bible searches on their computer program. Amen. You can perhaps do that. But listen, God wants us to make good decisions revolving around the Word of God. So God, the desire of God is that we live a balanced life. God doesn't want us to just be for God and forsake our families. God doesn't... Hey, listen to me, young person. God doesn't want you to give work the preeminence in your life and forsake God. Amen. God doesn't want you to say, "You know what? Our family time out on the boat is at Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. God, listen, God wants us to have balance. God wants, for a lot of years, Brother Peterson, amen, guys have said, "Listen, if you want a great ministry, you're going to have to forsake your family." And you know what? They got a great ministry, but they weren't happy at the end. By the way, I won't do that. I wouldn't do that for all the tea in China. I love you people, amen. But I wouldn't forsake that woman and those kids for any of you. And by the way, God didn't call me to. He called me to have balance, amen. To be, by the way, I am a pastor. I'm also a husband. I'm also a son, amen. So the desire for balance. Let me give you number two, the decisions that lead to balance. Not only the desire for balance, God wants you to enjoy life and He wants you to make good decisions, but the decisions that lead to balance. Hold your place there. Go to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Tremendous. By the way, I enjoyed that song on the three Hebrews there, fellas. That was great. Amen. Daniel chapter 1. And kind of the springboard for the book of Daniel, after Ezekiel there, is chapter 1, verse number 8. The decisions that lead to balance. You see it there in verse number 8. And by the way, many of us have heard over the last 10 years or so about Rick Warren and the purpose-driven life and all that. And I remember the first time I ever got acquainted with that. Well, I was in New England as an associate pastor in Holyoke, Massachusetts, and we had five or six folks come to our church on Sunday night, Pastor Savini. And they came on Sunday night, and I said, "Where are you from?" And they named a church one town over that they were from. And that church was incorporating the purpose-driven life, and they were canceling their Sunday night service. Can't think of anything less purpose-driven than canceling your Sunday night service. Amen. You want to see the original purpose-driven life? It's right here. Verse 8 says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank." What are the decisions that lead to balance? There's a couple here. Allowing God in His Word to be at the very center of your decision making. Allowing God, His Word, His principles to be at the very heart of making your decision. It goes back to the key to balance. If we're desiring to fulfill our purpose and bring glory to God, we would allow His Word to help us to make our decisions. Secondly, under decisions that lead to balance, having an "if God said it, I'll do it" attitude. Having an "if God said it, I'll do it" attitude. See, that's what allows people to become faithful to church. Because the Bible says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So if I'm going to make a decision that leads to balance about church, I guess I should be here when the door squeaks. Amen? Tithing. The devil's going to convince you can't tithe. He's going to say, there's no way you could live on 90%. You're already scraping by as it is. But God said, if you tithe, I'll bless you. And if you have that, listen, if God said it, I'm going to do it attitude, you'll be a tither. Amen. Think about soul winning. Listen, I know some of you are absolutely petrified to talk to a complete stranger. But if you have, and if God said it, and He did, by the way, four times in each one of the Gospels, then in the book of Acts, He gave the Great Commission, "Ye shall be witnesses to me," then you can do it. Amen. And having that attitude, if God said it, I'm going to do it. And you allow God's Word, it'll instruct you and it'll help you to live a balanced life if you obey it. My little boy came home today and said, "Daddy, guess what we learned in kindergarten class today, Mrs. Harmon?" Amen. He said, "Guess what we learned?" I said, "What'd you learn, buddy?" He said, "We learned about two men. One started Lowe's and one started Home Depot." No. He said, "We learned about two men." I said, "Oh yeah?" He said, "One built his house upon the rock, and one built his house upon the sand." And my boy pays attention. I appreciate that. Amen. And he began to tell me your entire lesson, Mrs. Harmon. Amen. And at the end, I got to the end. He said, the wise man built his house upon the rock. And he, of course, began to sing the song. The rains came down and the floods came up. And he said, and then the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and his house fell. And I said, and buddy, the last verse says, and great was the fall of it. But what was the difference? I'll tell you what the difference was. They both heard God's Word. Many of us have lived a lifetime in church hearing God's Word. The wise man did what he heard. The foolish man heard it, said, "That's nice. For somebody else." Amen. The wise man, listen, the one that's going to make the have the balanced life, the decisions that lead to a balanced life are saying, "I'm going to do the Word of God. I'm going to, if God said it, I'm going to do it." Let me give you some detours that cause imbalance. Not only desire of God for balance, not only the decisions that lead to balance, but some detours that cause imbalance. Can I tell you one of the greatest detours? Fear. Fear. Fear and faith cannot coexist. One will dominate the other. I'll guarantee it, ladies and gentlemen. One will. The fear of man bringeth a what? Snare, the Bible says. Proverbs 29:25. Fear and faith. You say, "But Pastor, I do have fear." Oh yes, I'm not saying the complete absence of fear. But courage is not the absence of fear. It's doing the right thing in spite of the fear. And saying, "God, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to have spiritual courage. I'm going to pass out tracts. I'm going to be faithful to church. I'm going to instruct my children. Even when the state says very soon, you're not allowed to teach your kids about God." That's courage. The idea here, the detours that cause imbalance, fear. Something else, we're going to talk about it on Wednesday night, but one of the great, great hindrances to balance is self. Boy, I tell you what, don't you just get disgusted with yourself from time to time? We get in the way of what God wants to do. And I think about having anything other than God at the center is a detour that causes imbalance. There's a lot of people that are living for the almighty dollar today. You will never have balance. Never. There's a lot of people that are living for working. And listen, I'll even say this. There are people in this room that are living for their children, perhaps. Listen, I love my kids. You love your kids. But if they're in the center, you're going to be out of balance. Have you ever had a tire go out of balance? Tell you what. We had one time, and we're driving along, and it had this bubble in the side. And it was hilarious. You know, my wife and I, we kid all the time. We say, we're from the land of Gath, amen. We're both 6 feet tall and, you know, broad shoulders. We had a Geo Prism. Looked like a clown car, amen. We get in the thing like this, you know. And just hilarious. We had one of those tires go out of balance one time, Brother Horsch. Listen, if your kids are in the middle, If work is in the middle, if fear is in the middle, it's, listen, ladies and gentlemen, God's supposed to be in the middle. Trusting God, loving God, making Him the center. Amen. Detours that lead to imbalance. Let me give you the last point tonight. Number four, the demands that produce balance. We're talking about prioritizing by principle. How do we prioritize by principle? First of all, number one, and I know this is repetitious, but it's on purpose. Learn the Scriptures. Learn the Scriptures. Let me just give you four principles about the Scriptures that will help you. Number one, God's commands never conflict. God's commands never conflict. Sir, God does want you to be a good husband and a good employee and have a relationship with God. And take care of yourself. God's commands never conflict. Secondly, under that, about learning the Scriptures, God's commands can be obeyed. See, we think about the things sometimes in the Word of God, and we think, well, I wonder how God expects me to obey that. Listen, if God told you to do something, He means for you to obey it. Amen? He means for you to obey it. God's commands can be obeyed. Let me tell you this. God's commands are not suggestions. I'll stay there a little bit. God's commands are not suggestions. Who do we think we are to disobey the Creator of all that is and excuse it? By the way, I'll point one at you, and when I do three, it'll be coming back at me. God, they're not suggestions. When God said, thou shalt and thou shalt not, He didn't say, in parentheses, except for you. Listen, that we would get that down, that God says, and He means. If God says it, He means it. They're not suggestions. They don't conflict. They can be obeyed. And I love this. God's commands work together. You know, if I develop my relationship with God like He commands me to, if I study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, and I build my relationship with God and I have a prayer time to Him, you know what? That's going to make me a better husband. It's going to help me to, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Where did I get that from? I got that out of my relationship with God, my time in God's Word. Amen. And that's going to make me a better employee. Servants, be obedient to your masters, not just to the gentle, but to the froward, the Bible says. It's going to help me to be balanced in my area of not wanting to knock the boss out, which would be really bad for me because I'd have to knock me out. Amen. Now think about it. I remember times where I thought, if I could get my boss by the neck when no one was looking. The Bible says you're not supposed to be a striker. But I wasn't really a striker, Brother. It was more like a grabber. Amen. I could just pick him up and separate his head from his neck. Amen. I've had those days. You've had those days. Say amen. But boy, you get in the Word of God and you start to learn that I didn't work for Him. I worked for Him. So we're talking about learning the Scriptures. What's the second key to prioritizing by principle? Not only learning the Scriptures, and I'm going to talk a lot about this in next week's message, but live by a schedule. The reason you don't spend time in God's Word is you do not schedule it. The reason we don't spend time in prayer like we should is we do not schedule it. Now listen, I understand that occasionally things are going to come up. There's going to be illness. There's going to be a heart attack. There's going to be a family trip that takes you out of town that's going to throw you off your schedule. But by and large, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why these things get away from us is we don't live by a schedule. Listen, write it down. Put a schedule together. Say 6:30 to 7, God's Word and coffee. Amen? You can even throw a bagel in there. And Mrs. Lolly, if you want to have one of your juicers, amen, you can do that too. Amen? But have time set aside, ladies and gentlemen. Say from 7 to 7:15, I'm going to have prayer. I'm going to talk to my Savior. Amen. Say, you know what, as I go out amongst the day, I'm going to have 5 gospel tracts on me, and I'm going to try to witness to my coworkers or to the young man at Myers doing the carts. And if it's Keith Sammons, just give it to him. He'll give it to somebody else. Amen. Just schedule it in. Brother Jeff Fugit, tremendous preacher, said this: we have to understand that everything in life that has value must have time scheduled for it. And that scheduled time, we should give all of ourselves to that one thing. You're at work, God expects you to be at work. Not bowing your head in prayer when you're supposed to be cutting parts. Amen? God, listen, you have your time with God. God expects you to be there. He doesn't expect your mind to be all over the place. Pull yourself back in. Amen. That's the most. When you're having time with your family, whatever it is, if you have a time over to take a walk or to take a bike ride or all that, I'll tell you, I don't have mine on me tonight, but these little things like this can take away so much time. I'm convinced the more and more we ought to just shut them off. Why? My little boy wants to ask me, son, hold on, son. Hold on. Next thing you know, he's 17 years old. Amen? Senior saints, amen? And listen, live by a schedule. Say, bless God, we're going to schedule time. I think of husbands, it'd still be all right for you to take your wife out on a date. Boy, that was a great spot for you, ladies. Sorry, I gave you a chance, amen? And I gave you a chance to amen, but you didn't, amen, a couple of you. Why? Schedule it. Schedule. You know what it says? Honey, you're important enough to schedule. Amen. Living by a schedule. Prioritizing by principles. The demands that produce balance. Learn the scriptures and live by a schedule. The detours that cause imbalance. Fear, self, having other things in the center. The decisions that lead to balance, allowing God and His Word to be at the center and having an "if God said it, I'll do it" attitude, and the desire of God for balance. He wants you to enjoy life, folks. We have to be prioritizing by principle. In our message next week, we're going to talk about those principles in these 4 major areas of life that'll help us. Amen. Father, we love You.